everyone, and welcome to Overexposed, a podcast by Pexels made by and for ambitious creatives. My name is Wendy, your host, and today on the pod, we have a lifestyle and adventure photographer, Jeremy Bishop, joining us from sunny Central California. If you're a regular Pexels user, there's a great chance that you've probably come across Jeremy's work. After all, his profile has been seen by over 113 million people, and that's just on Pexels itself. He goes by Blue Mind on Instagram, which is very fitting for a style that encapsulates that meditative feeling of sitting by the sea, which is no surprise since he specializes in water photography and introduces brands to wild spaces. He first began his journey in the creative industry by providing photography for free on stock photo sites and soon found a way to monetize his work in a disruptive industry. Since then, he's worked for the legendary Chris Burkard and companies such as Lululemon and Sperry's. We talked to Jeremy about how his experience in the stock photography world has led him to where he is today and give you a little sneak peek of what it's like being an adventure and travel photographer. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us on Overexposed today. You are a common name on Pexels, and we love your photos there. So I'm really excited to dive in to talk a little bit more about you today.
Awesome. Thank you. Love that.
Well, first of all, I just want to say congratulations for winning not one, but two Pexelspalooza challenges. I'm so jealous of the travel prize. Like, we've been talking about it on our team, and we're like, oh my God, we're going to be really jealous of whoever wins that one.
I love that. I'm stoked. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was like, I had to double check at first because, like, did he really win two challenges? And it was correct. So that's absolutely amazing. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. I know I was really I saw that one, the cruise, and I'm like, man, that one would be pretty amazing, you know, especially when the world opens back up.
Yeah, it'll be a nice trip to have once we're allowed to travel again.
Yes, big time. I'm excited.
So just starting off, can you give us a quick snapshot of your creative background and your photography journey?
Yeah, definitely. Man, I kind of jumped into photography in college, and I jumped in using the GoPro. So that's how I got into it. My buddy, what do I strap it to? His boogie board and his surfboard, and just video himself, and then just like record videos and kind of like put it together. I thought that was like so bogus at first. I'm like, man, what are you doing? You're just recording videos and like just watching it yourself. And then from there on, I started being the one who would grab the GoPro and like video him and then take photos of waves. And so that was kind of how I first jumped into it and started photography. Love the water, love surfing over the ocean. And I'm like, man, I'd kind of getting good at this with this little like square pocket camera. And so I jumped into it with the GoPro. And then from there, I ran into a few different companies like Unsplash and Pexels. And I ran into them because I was doing graphic design in college, and that was my minor. I was hoping to like major in that. So I was doing freelance graphic design work, and I would need images and cut images with text and all that. And so I ran into them, and I'm like, man, I could probably do this and toss up my photography on here, mm-hmm. because nobody was really doing the style that I was doing, which was like outdoor water. Mm-hmm. And so started throwing my image up there and started gaining traction and downloads and views. And I'm like, man, people are actually like enjoying my work. And so from there, I'm like, maybe I can do this professionally. And so it kind of just kickstarted from there. And I started pursuing it on a professional basis and doing a lot of work. And that was kind of how I started. Very mm-hmm. interesting start and journey for me, but it's been great.
Yeah, it's so amazing to see like all these like sports and action photographers that are pretty popular now. Most of them started either with like, I feel like skateboarding or like surfing, like what you did. And yeah, most of them either started with like just taking their like parents' camcorders and stuff like and filming their friends, or like, yeah, with a GoPro. I feel like it was like the first of its time when it came out, and there wasn't anything that small and portable that you could just really like take wherever with you.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Such a genius idea.
Very early on in your career, you interned for the legendary Chris Burkard, which is such an incredible way to kick off your photography career. How did you get connected and start working with him?
So Chris, I've been following him for a decent amount of time before I jumped in to photography, and he does internships. And so you're able to apply for that. And I think there's like two or three a year. I think there's three. And so I saw that and I'm like, man, might as well like try for it. And this was, I think, like 4 years back when I interned for him, and kind of built up some work portfolio and kind of just sent it over. And I ended up getting the intern position. And it's kind of cool because I was traveling in Indonesia with this organization called Surf in the Nations. And I was shooting surf over there like right before I jumped on. And so it's kind of a fun transition going from what I love doing and the projects that I'm like seeking out, which is surf, adventure, and outdoor photography, and then jumping right into the internship into exactly what he does. And so he surf, ski, man, all the above, he does it all. And so that was a blast. So I got to intern with him for like 6 to 8 months. And jumped on a few projects with him while I was there. So I got to shoot alongside of him and assist. And so that's kind of how I started. And then right now I am an assistant for him. And so it's kind of cool jumping on full time. And he likes to hire those he's worked with and kind of, you know, seeing them progress. So it's kind of cool seeing it all come back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so amazing. Yeah. I feel like when he became really big, it was like this roster of photographers. Like started really early on. And like, I know when I first started photography, it was like him and like Peter McKinnon and all of these like established photographers looking at them and being like, oh my God, like that's so cool. Like what they're doing. What kind of like projects, like what did it look like this internship? Like, did you end up traveling with him for the entirety of it? Or was it more of like working on your own and then sometimes like collaborating together?
So it kind of started out with me interning, and then from there, they already had a full team. And so I jumped on and started working for myself and freelancing. And so I was doing that for the past 2 years. And then it wasn't until a few positions opened up. And then he's like, hey, like, you know, we've worked together, you interned for me, like, I'd love for you to jump on the team. And then from there, jumped on full time with him. And so that was kind of the transition from me going freelance and kind of running my own business and then working full time for him.
And what do you what part of that experience do you think has been most important in like shaping you as a photographer today?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think the number one thing that Chris does really well is know a lot about the business side of photography. And so you get a lot of creatives and artists who do the craft so well, but they don't know, and they're not gifted in the business side of it. And so he knows that very well. And so just like seeing him kind of run his business and then kind of like speak his wisdom as you're with him and as he's talking to clients and as you're helping him through projects, you start to see the business side of it. And you're like, wow, like that's all that I need to do to start with myself. Like that is a lot that I never even thought of. And just the way he like talks with clients and kind of runs his business and runs his different income streams, it's pretty amazing. And so that was probably the number one takeaway was kind of the business side of it and knowing how to talk to clients, how to pitch for jobs, invoices, deliverables, man, all that. And so that was amazing seeing that without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so huge. Important. Like the business side of things, because a lot of artists, like obviously the goal is to do what you love. And like, that is like, either that's photography or like going out and shooting video or designing something. That's usually what you're good at and what the fun part is for you. But the other side of, in order to be successful, like you could be the most talented person in the world, but if you don't know how to really go out and sell yourself, it's going to be really hard to make a sustainable career out of it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's huge. And so that was his main takeaway, especially for all those working under him. He's like, hey guys, like you got another business side or else you're going to drown.
So you mentioned pretty early on when you started photography that you started uploading your photos onto stock platforms. Free stock platforms are still somewhat of a newer concept. And it's obviously understandable that some photographers photographers might be hesitant in sharing their work for free, since monetary value is usually like the standard measurement for return. But you have a really interesting story when you kind of like started with stock platforms first and then monetized it, turning it into your full-time business. What was your experience like when you kind of first started uploading your photos? Like, did you kind of have that like hesitation at first?
Man, I didn't really have a hesitation. My first experience was running into these free stock platforms as a designer. And I'm like, man, this is genius. This is perfect. Like, I'm getting all these young artists who are putting out great work and I'm able to download and use it for free, like for anything. Kind of mind blowing. And it still is mind blowing. I'm used to it because I've been doing it and I've been like in the industry, but people are like, especially professionals are like, man, do you find like any benefits in doing this? It still is mind blowing, but I came onto the idea as a designer, and me personally, I'm like, man, I'd be happy to throw some work up on here for other people to use. And so it was kind of just what I stumbled upon, but also I was like, man, this is a genius idea. Maybe later on down the road, it'll be able to be monetized into something. But I still do it mainly for the reason of just kind of like giving back and giving my work to others. You know, it's kind of like a weird way of running a business and also being selfless, but I don't know. That was kind of why I jumped into it, was just to like help other creatives. Cause like, man, it helped me. And obviously I don't put up like all my work on there, but I do put up some fun ones that I really enjoy and appreciate and am proud of. But yeah, that's kind of like why I still do it.
Yeah, well, that's a really important mentality to have, that like ability to kind of give back to other people. And I think a lot of people, when they first start, it is that hesitation of why should I put my work up there if I'm not getting anything in return? But you can only think about that in terms of money. And now you've got a 8-day tour around Europe from posting your photos on stock sites.
Oh man. Yeah. Those challenges are amazing. You got to love that. You guys are killing it.
Oh, so amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Like sometimes you kind of have to think of like returns as not just like money in a way, like that feeling of, I don't know, like even for me, like when I first started at Pexels, like not even working for them, I just started like putting my photos up there as a way to have some sort of like portfolio. Like I tried all of the other, I think I tried Flickr, but I really didn't really like their interface. Okay. So I was like, at least this is like a link that looks nice that I can like send to other people as a portfolio. And yeah, like from donations, from just people being like really nice and paying it forward. And I think that's like a really great mentality to have just as a creative, because like, yeah, like once you give something, I feel like karma will give you something back in return.
Yeah, that was kind of my mindset going into it. Was kind of, you know, like later down the road, like something will come about of this, whether it's hard work, whether it's like being selfless, or just the aspect of like giving back to the creative community. And so that was my mindset behind it. And yeah, like in a decent amount of ways, like it has paid back, and clients have like seen my work, and then we've come to work on projects together, or like those who've been using my work have come to like appreciate it, and they're like, hey, like, you know, I would love to like pay you for the images that I've been using. Mm-hmm. And so that's been really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are one of the bigger photographers on Pexels, and of course a lot of other stock sites as well. Has there been like a story where you've like seen your photo in like a really like unique place that you really didn't expect to see it?
Yeah, there's so many companies who've used my images, and the funny part is just scrolling through Instagram. So that's like the main platform that I use that I've seen it. But I think the funny story is the people will send me screenshots of my work, and they'll send me screenshots, man, everywhere, like on like Facebook. That's going to be the main platform. I'll get some screenshots from it, or like just via like websites that they visited, and like they see a banner, or they see like a background image, and they'll screenshot and be like, yo, is this your work? And so that's cool being able to see that. But like you guys at Pexels, you guys give us a breakdown like who's used our images. And so that's been cool seeing that. And man, there's like thousands of sites out there, but also there's big ones, you know, like Instagram, T-Mobile, like I've seen a lot of those. And so it's pretty satisfying seeing that these larger companies are using your work, whether or not, you know, I'm not getting paid, and most of the time I'm not, but it's cool seeing that your work is appreciated and being used. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like my outlook on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of attributes to like the credibility of like you as a photographer as well. Like for me, and I'm not just saying this because I work for Pexels, I've been a user of it for a long time before, just as for my own work as well. Like seeing companies, I think like Google this one time, like used a photo, and even though it wasn't like paid or anything, just have you could have that ability to say like Google has used my work, and like what if it's like Yahoo or BuzzFeed, and it really like builds your credibility. So then maybe down the road, if someone sees that these companies have really enjoyed your work and want to use it, then that kind of leads to like them wanting to use it too, maybe, and like hiring you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that. And those three companies, they're always in and out of the site using images, without a doubt. It's kind of great to see.
Yeah. And for you, what do you think is the greatest return you found from like submitting your photos on these stock sites?
I get that question a lot from a lot of people just messaging me through the site. There's probably a few. One of them is just the small donations from, you know, the millions who come on these sites and view your work, you know. So like there'll be a few small donations like every month coming in. And so just as all of that like slowly rolls in, that's going to be one benefit, and that's going to be one of the income streams. And then secondly, I've gotten a few companies, and you know, some of them have been like Fortune 500 companies who've reached out, and they're like, hey, like, you know, we'd love to license other images that you don't have on these sites, nobody has seen, and that we want to, you know, license for ourselves and buy out. And so that's been kind of cool, to where you're able to flow your work in front of these companies for them to see, and then they're like, hey, like, let's dive deeper and, you know, license a few images. So that's been a massive payout, and never saw it coming. So that's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, the world of licensing is insane. I have no idea that it existed. And I remember getting one of those emails as well. And like, I had no idea like what the standard to charge is. And I thought it was only like maybe like $100 or $200 until I like did my research. And I was like, oh my gosh, like people can like make so much money from, like even I just had one, but I feel like if you continue doing it, people can make so much money just from like licensing.
Yeah, it's a wild world that not too many people know how to navigate around. And obviously I still am, but yeah, it's a man, it's hard to communicate because it's not cut and it's not clear. So that's been interesting navigating through that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right now, so do you do your photography business full time right now?
My personal business, I do it part time. I'm working full time right now at Chris Card Studio. So it's kind of nice having something on the side that I can work part time and, you know, kind of enjoy it, because that's my passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've had some pretty impressive companies on your resume. You've worked with like Lululemon and Barry's. How do you usually like go about working with these companies? Is it like you pitching to them, or do they usually come to you?
It's back and forth. You know, a lot of photographers are reaching out to companies, and that's the main avenue, because you can't just wait for these companies to find you. And so you have to find avenues and platforms for companies to see your work and to find you. But mainly, me as a photographer, I'm reaching out and I'm finding the right people and the right platforms to reach out to them. And so that's kind of the main avenue. But a lot of other companies will find me through these free stock websites, or through Instagram, or through my website. So yeah, it's kind of the main avenues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I think it's really important you mentioned like not just waiting for things to come to you. Mm-hmm. Like the other part of being a creative and like running a business, if that's what you want to do, is kind of doing that, being the proactive one, and like really going out and like seeking opportunities rather than just like kind of sitting there and like waiting for opportunities to come to you.
That's massive. Yeah, that's huge.
So in like 2019, a few of the members of the Pexels content team and I went on a photo tour in California. And what I've learned from that was that adventure and outdoor photography is not as easy or as glamorous as it seems. So for you as a photographer that has done a fair bit of traveling and adventure photography, mm-hmm. what is the most important quality to have for someone who's looking to kind of get into the same things as you're doing right now?
Man, I think there's a lot of qualities that you need to have and build up, but I think there's like a few things you need to know. And I think the main thing is, you know, you need to have some tough skin because, mm-hmm. you know, you're going out into these harsh weather moments and you're spending a lot of time planning different locations and scoping it out, whether that's on like maps or doing it in person mm-hmm. or finding people who's been there. But it's a lot of pre-planning. Once you get there, man, it's tough because you got to navigate weather. And and from there, you're figuring out the subject, the composition, and how to get in and how to get out safe. But mainly, man, you got to have some tough skin, and there's going to be a lot of nights where you don't sleep, a lot of mornings where you wake up early, man. And that's just part of the industry and the subject you're shooting. Like, I love doing that. And man, I'll wake up at 4 a.m. like two or three nights in a row just to shoot like a swell that's coming in, or you know, shoot the full moon. Like, it only lasts for like 2 days. And so little things like that, a lot of people will be like, man, like, how do you get these shots, man? A lot of it's just sacrifice of like mm-hmm. your sleep and your time and your sanity and your meals. Man, it gets pretty gnarly and hectic sometimes, but you know, once you get in the right moment and you actually see it unfold, it's pretty beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be super rewarding seeing like the shot after, because I think, yeah, like a lot of like outdoor adventure photography is like that timing and waiting for things. I remember looking at
timing's huge.
Yeah, like Nat Geo and stuff, and seeing like, oh my God, they took this photo of like these stars. And for me, like, when I first started, I was like, oh, like, I'll just go out and like try to take a photo of the stars. But then it's like so much more than that. It's like waiting for the right, like looking at like where the stars are and like when it's going to be good weather. And yeah, and like some people like literally camp out for like hours or even days just to get like that one shot.
Yeah, I think a huge part of it too is you have to be okay with failure, because like within failure, you're learning every single time. And so just like you said, like the right seasons of the year will have the best like showings of the Milky Way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't learn that without failing, going out and being like, oh, the Milky Way is below us. It's on the other side of the world right now. Yeah. And so that's huge. You got to be okay with failing and knowing that next time it's going to be much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember this one time on our little like photo tour that we did. Do you know like Movie Road? I forget exactly where it is in California.
No. Is it within the city, within LA?
No, it's like, because we drove from San Diego up to San Francisco in the span of a week. And I remember like it was near either, okay, I'm getting my dates mixed up, like probably in between like Death Valley and Mojave, one of the days in between. Like, we finished up early and
okay, nice.
Yeah, and we found this like people were posting this place on Instagram, and there was no address or anything. It was just like the middle of nowhere. So we literally went and like tried to go find it based on like what roads looked like it went where. And it was like 2 hours till sunset. So we were waiting out there, and we're waiting for like a typical California sunset when it's like all like colorful and stuff. And it was after those 2 hours, we sat there like doing nothing, just waiting. And then we realized it was facing the wrong way. Like, there was, I think it was like, would have been perfect for sunrise, but it was a horrible sunset. And it's like those moments when you're like, oh my gosh, but yeah, you learn.
Exactly. Yeah, you learn that it was totally the wrong time of the day for that location. Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of feeling to get it right.
What are some of like the upcoming projects that you're working on that you're really excited about?
And right now, currently, I'm planning a few like motorcycle projects. And so I got a few companies who I've been talking with and contacting. And so that's kind of fun planning that out. So that's just going to be a few locations around Central California. And like, I'll be the rider on a few of them. And then also I'll be shooting the rider as well. So those are some fun ones that I'm stoked about right now. But as for work, I've been shooting a few, like fashion companies right now. So it's been kind of fun to like diversify and also get stoked about with the different styles. So I love shooting a broad range of styles. And so that just brings the passion back in because I'm, you know, putting in so many hours on and off with my own work. So it's kind of fun kind of diversifying the work.
Yeah, absolutely. It also helps with like burnout too, because no matter how much I feel like you love something, at some point you will get tired of it just for like a little bit. And it's always nice to kind of branch out and like try new things. And it overall like helps you as a photographer, I feel, just being able to do many different things.
It really does. Yeah, I personally enjoy it. And a lot of people, like once they get deep into their exact style, they'll be like, man, I've been doing this for far too long. Like, let's try and shoot something different. So it's kind of, it's kind of fun seeing that as a lot of people like sway in and out of their style and they want to start diversifying the work.
Yeah. I remember when I started in music photography and it was literally, I did not know how to shoot in daylight. Like all I knew was how to shoot in like dark venues with like no lighting.
Indoors, and it took me,
and it took me so long to be able to kind of be able to branch out of that. But yeah, like having different things to show in your portfolio can only like open you up to more opportunities.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm on the other side of that. I like know how to shoot in daylight. And once you're out of doors, I'm like, okay, everything changes.
Yeah, that's so fun. So for everyone who's listening, where can we find you and your work online?
You can find me at my website, so jeremybishopphotography.com.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Jeremy. It was so awesome kind of hearing more about your story and how you got to where you are today.
Heck yeah, thanks for having me.
If you've made it this far, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to Overexposed. As a token of my appreciation, I'll be offering a free 20-minute phone call to talk about your creative goals and how we can get you there. Just shoot me an email at wendy@pexels.com or send us a DM at Pexels on Instagram. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. And finally, don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would also love it. Until next time, I'm Wendy, and it's been a pleasure to share this time with you.